This morning's New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are starting at verse 12. This can be found on page 1131 of the Bibles in the pews. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is beneficial for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will just destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins of a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
Well, good morning, everybody. I wonder what you think about your body. Quite a lot, sounds like. Well, I hate seeing photos of myself. I hate even more seeing videos of myself, especially when they appear on the internet. I was at a conference last year of a couple of thousand church leaders, and they created a video of what happened, and I only got the courage to watch that video this last week. I'm down the front in this huge sea of people, and there's a short, stubby, round Asian head that keeps popping up over and over again throughout this whole church service. Thankfully, that, you know how like those pictures and words, they keep coming up and covering the back of my head. And I don't know, what do you think about your body? Are you too short? Are you too skinny? Are you smelly? Is your voice too nasally? Does every part of your body work as the manual says it should? I wonder what you think about your body. Last night I was at a dinner party with friends, and when you have women around the table, the topic always gets to how difficult and painful childbearing is. The men get very quiet. The women are going on and on, and I'm kind of going, yeah, I was there, it didn't seem that bad. But now I'm in the company of a couple of hundred of you, I can say this. I couldn't say this last night for fear of if I died on the way home, no one would know. But since you're all here, I was kicked in the nuts once. That hurts a lot. It's got to be I don't know. I was looking at the photos of my kids on my phone. I had to chuckle because I have two little boys. One is a spitting image of me. The other one has Viv's smelly feet and hairy back. I wonder what you think of your body. I wonder what you think of your body. In Holland, a 27-year-old ballet dancer developed arthritis in her toes. So she went to a doctor and said, "My life is not worth living because I cannot dance. I want to die." So the doctor helped her die. I wonder what you think of your body. It's a good question because we all have bodies. It's a good question because it's the only physical possession you will have your whole life. What do you think of your body? We all have one. For lots of us, our physical attributes determine our self-identity and our self-perception. So whether you're a male or female, whether you're tall or short, blonde or brunette, pimply or wrinkly, we all have bodies. We've got to be asking ourselves, what do we think of our bodies? What are they for? How do we understand them? Lots of people are obsessed with their physical appearance. The cosmetic industry thrives on our obsession. People tattoo themselves. People pierce themselves. Because on one level, our physical attributes say something about us. But what do you think about your body? What does the Bible say? How does it help us think what God thinks about our bodies? Today, we're continuing a series in introducing you. Introducing us to understand humanity. We've looked a few weeks ago about how we're more than animals. We're made in the image of God. We're the pinnacle of God's creation. And last week we looked about how we're totaled by sin. Today we're looking at the human body. What does it mean for us to have human bodies? What does it mean to be human and have bodies? For we live in them 24/7. We feed them, we clean them, we trim them, we enjoy them, we even hate them sometimes. If you're human, you've got a body. For what I've got to say today, it's useful for all of us. It's applicable to every person you know and absolutely every person you'll ever meet because we all have bodies. So what does the Bible say about our bodies? There are three things I want to talk about this morning. Three very simple things, I think, hopefully, but they're quite complicated at the same time. So if you've got notes, if you've got Bibles, grab them. Let's open them up. The first point the Bible makes is really clear is that God made our physical human bodies. Right back at the start of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 to 2 is the account of God's creation. He made the whole physical world and he made physical bodies as well. In the end of Genesis 1, it tells us that all of creation was very good in God's sight. But God didn't just make Adam and Eve. He's the maker of each and every one of us. In the first Old Testament reading, in Psalm 139, "For you, God," in verse 13, "created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Science tells us the mechanics of how we came into being. But the psalm and in the Bible, it tells us that God is the one who knit us together. God is the one who weaves us together. Through the whole process of our creation, God is the one who's in control. He's in control of that one in a 100 million sperm penetrating the ovum. And it grows and pulses into life and becomes a human being. God's in control of that. Our body is intimately known. It's lovingly cradled. It's wonderfully shaped by God. That means that our body, your physical body, is important to God. It's valued by God. Our bodies are important to us. How we look, how tall we are, the color of our skin, how much hair we have, how big or small we are, whether parts of our body work properly or not. Those things are important to God as well. There's a misconception out in society and in parts of our church that says that, yeah, God cares about me, but he really only cares about my spiritual well-being and what I'm thinking and doing in my heart. That's a misconception. That is wrong. You may not feel that God cares about your physical body. You may not be feeling so good about how your body looks on you or makes you feel or what it's doing right now. But to be honest, God does care about you. I'm wondering why God let my little niece, who was born 2 weeks ago, suffer a brain injury at birth. I'm wondering why God made my little boy be allergic to pretty much everything in the world. You may be wondering why God let your body get so twisted and contorted and so full of pain. And the question is never alone. Because with every imperfection, with every deformity, with every frailty, they stand in the long shadows of pain and tears. But as we've seen in Psalm 139, God created each and every human being. He created each and every one of our bodies. He knitted us together. He wove us together. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're made and formed exactly according to his plan. Even what we view as our physical imperfections, even what we see as our disabilities, they're not outside God's control. He knows how many hairs you got on your head because your bodies are precious to him and each of you is formed in the way that God made for you for his special purpose. In verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 139, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. To me, this is a huge comfort, to know that the significance and identity that I find in my body is not defined by my own opinion. The significance and identity that I find in my body isn't even defined by other people's opinion. But I am significant and I am given purpose by God, my maker, and so are you. God has created my body, my niece's body, my son's body, your body, the way that you are, so that each one can fulfill their particular purpose for God. This means we're freed from comparing ourselves to others. We're freed from the disappointment of not being able to fulfill what we think we ought to achieve in our bodies. Because it's using our bodies to achieve God's purpose that will find fulfillment, identity, and significance. Well, that's the first point. The second point is this. The Bible says that our human bodies are marred by sin. As we heard last week from Genesis 3, because of all of humanity's rejection of God, we're totaled. Every part of every one of us is affected by sin. We're spiritually severed from God. We're mentally in a perpetual state of rebellion against him. But it's not just a spiritual or academic thing. Sin affects the physical world. In Genesis 3, we read last week, "Cursed is the ground because of you," God says to Adam. "By the sweat of your brow you will eat the food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are and dust you will return." As a result of sin, the physical body is subjected to pain and decay and toil. Even just before that passage, God cursed the female body by giving her pain in childbirth. That is the effect and result of sin. Disease, imperfections, disabilities, they're all part of our life now. And none of us can escape it. This means that every time we feel pain, every time your body hurts, it's a reminder that our bodies have been totaled, subjected to sin and death and decay. Adam and Eve, they had perfect human bodies. But when sin came, everything changed, and what we have now is the result. I reckon if I polled all of you, you'd know that sin has an effect on your body. For many of you, it hurts to get up in the morning. For many of you, it hurts just to lay in bed at night trying to fall asleep. For many of you, it hurts because as your days go, you know you are standing, looking down at one day when your body will no longer work. That is the effect of sin in our world
and sin on our physical body. If we suffer, if you're Christian, remember, it will not always be like this forever. The imperfections we experience remind us of what sin has done, and it drives us to put our trust in God, the one who can make a difference. We need to remember that all these things that happen to us and to our bodies are not outside God's control. In fact, God is doing something about it. The Bible tells us that our human bodies will be redeemed by God in Christ. And that's our third point. Our human bodies will be redeemed by God in Christ. For Christians, bodies falling apart, bodies rotting as they are still attached to us, that is not the end. Because the key difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world is that foundation of us trusting a person who was raised forever from the dead. Jesus. We trust Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who was an eyewitness to the risen Jesus, he tells us about the hope that we have because of Jesus' resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 20 onwards, I'm going to read a few of these verses. Just listen to this. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Then you get down to verse 42. The body that was sown perishable, it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. If you trust Jesus, the great hope is that you'll be physically raised from the dead to be with Jesus. What Jesus achieved from his death and resurrection is the reversal of what the punishment was in Genesis chapter 3. Where sin and death reigned, because of Jesus, where sin reigned, because of Jesus, righteousness now rules. Where death and decay ruled, because of Jesus, now death is destroyed, and our bodies are redeemed and will be resurrected one day because of Jesus. God so values our physical body that he takes what is fallen and imperfect and broken, and he raises it up again, imperishable, immortal, and everlasting. The promise that the Bible gives us hope. It means for those of us who trust Jesus, we know that we have a way out of this mess. A way in the future somehow of our bodies being resurrected. And that is fantastic. But what about now? What about today? What's God's promise for our bodies today? When the Bible speaks of redemption of our body in Christ, there's a lot more involved than just physical resurrection on the last day, someday in the future. There's more than that. If you look at today's passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you have it on the insert, or if you open up the Bibles, just pay attention to the word body as I read it out. From verse 14, by his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them to a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. for us here, right now, for those of us who trust Jesus, that Jesus has redeemed us, then right now, our bodies are united with Christ. From verse 17, he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, this is a profound and complicated idea, but it's crucial for us to understand our bodies here and now. So bear with me as I explain what this means. In verse 19 and 20, Jesus purchased our body. He bought our body. You're not your own, you're bought at a price, it says in those verses. We're purchased back from slavery to sin, which means that our bodies now belong to Jesus. And his spirit lives in us. This is the way that our bodies are redeemed. As we're united with Jesus, what belongs to him now belongs to us. His spirit, which gives life, now lives in us. And as his spirit lives in us, our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are united with Jesus. If you trust Jesus, as you become a Christian, you are united with Jesus by his spirit. But we're not just linked to Jesus individually, but we're also united to his corporate body, the church. In verse 15, it says that all who are united in Christ are now parts of Christ's corporate body, the church, where we individually are parts of his body and Jesus is the head. So as Christians, each of us are united to Jesus, the one who died on the cross and now sits on the throne in heaven. We are united with Jesus by his spirit. And each of us are united to one another because we are part of God, of Christ's body, the church, members of his body, by the same spirit. My physical body is somehow linked to Jesus' physical body. And my physical body is somehow linked to each and every member of this church by God's Spirit. So what you do on your body matters. What you do on your body affects not only your relationship with Jesus, but it affects your relationship with each and every Christian in this church. That's why Paul says, don't sin in your body. Here in 1 Corinthians, he focuses on sexual immorality. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. And in verse 13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. God didn't create and redeem our bodies so that we could sin. That's not what our bodies are intended for. I had a carpenter over a couple of weeks ago. He was fixing something for me. And he asked to borrow my pen. I said, sure, thinking that he was going to write something down. I gave him my pen, my good pen. He turned around and scratched his bottom with it. A pen is not meant for scratching. Your body is not meant for sexual immorality. Your body is not meant for sin. Our bodies are united with Jesus Christ. Our bodies are united to Christ's body. So when we sin in our body, it affects everything. A pen's for writing, and our bodies are for, verse 20, honoring God. To do what will bring glory to Christ and his body, honoring God has to do with seeing your body as a member of the body of Christ. Here's the principle that you ought to work on this coming week. When you think about, how am I using my body to honor God? Ask yourself this question. Does what I'm doing in my body build up Christ's body, or does it tear it down? Does what you do in your body this week build up the body of Christ, or does it tear it down? In my home church in Mossman 20 years ago, it was a strong, vibrant church. But 20 years ago or thereabouts, the treasurer was caught embezzling the church's money. He embezzled around about $800,000, and that was a lot of money 20 years ago or 25 years ago. Not only did the church lose all that money, but as far as I know, he lost his faith. Not only did the church get rocked to the core and divided over certain issues, lots of people whom I know and I called friends and brothers in Christ 25 years ago, they no longer walk with Jesus anymore. 20 years on, that church is struggling to survive. I wonder if I was in that room with that treasurer 25 years ago as he was thinking about embezzling that money, if I said to him, is what you're going to do in the body going to build the church up, or is it going to tear Christ's body down? I wonder if that would have made a difference. What you do in your body matters to Jesus and to Jesus' body. I wonder if this week, if you had a whole bunch of, you got green dots, you know those green dots and red dots, you put things on different things? If you put green dots in everything in your life, everything you do in your body, that will build the church, the Christ body up, just think about it, even mentally or physically, put dots on everything that will build Christ's body up. And red dots, mentally or physically, on things that you know either do nothing for Christ's body or tear it down. Just make an inventory of your life over a cup of coffee and all the things that you're doing, and just ponder and reflect on that. And what, just look carefully, is your life, what you're doing in your body, is it primarily to build the body of Christ up, or is it doing nothing for it or tearing it down? Life is like crossing a river. In January, I was holidaying with my family in the Hunter Valley up near Muswellbrook. It was a great holiday. We did stacks of family things. But one of our destinations that day, we had to cross a large river. And if you remember in January back then, there were the rivers there up in the north coast, they were flowing because there were floodwaters coming down through southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales. So it's fairly early in the morning. I've got Viv in the passenger seat. I've got the boys in the back of the car. And we're around the corner to cross quite a large causeway. And it had been raining torrentially there for about a week. And that has an effect on a river. I drove down and put the front two wheels on the causeway. And I just stopped there. You can see logs going down in front of the car. You can imagine a cow floating past the front of the car at about 30 kilometres an hour and half a house going with it. And after about 30 awkward seconds, Viv said to me, are you man enough to cross or not? The kids are going nuts in the back of the car. Viv's sort of cranky because we're doing nothing and we could get to our holiday destination. And it was one of those Category 5 leadership decisions I can make right there on the spot. She said, come on, are you going or not? I turned to her and I said, I don't think it's safe enough to cross this river. So we turned around, and so did the semi-trailer behind us, by the way. Life is like crossing a river. But the difference in life, when you start crossing, you don't get to turn back. You don't get to chicken out like I did when I was crossing that causeway. You get one shot in one body, in one life. You've got to play whatever is in front of you, no matter what the circumstance. You've got to decide for yourself this week. Are you going to use your body to build up the body of Christ? Or will you do nothing with it and tear it down?